5 minutes until they get right with God. And he just looked at me, and the people around that table looked at me like, how dare you take up our time? And I looked back at them young ladies and led them to Jesus.
Amen.
Now, when we got done, I walked over and I thanked them, and they looked at me like, I don't care if you're thanking me or not. You know, they you could tell that it wasn't their thing, but still, we're carrying that light.
Yeah.
We're a representation of heaven. We have authority under this earth. People say, well, you know, don't you think that it's rude to preach the gospel here and there? I have been commissioned by God in the Bible that says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every living creature, baptize them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost. That commission overrides any law man has ever made.
You know, it's that question of, you said, do people think you're rude for preaching here? Does Jesus think you're rude for preaching here?
Come on.
Would Jesus preach here? Mm-hmm. Would he? You know, but one of the things I'm hearing, again, it's kind of like we've been talking about this very thing all morning long. You know, light be. And God took the light that of who he is and put it into the earth.
Mm-hmm.
And this pouring out this light that is within you, pouring it out and pouring it into the life of other people. We've got to come past this point. We've been talking about it in our Bible study on Monday night, too, about this place of not being backward about it. I don't know if that's the right word.
That's a good word.
Not hesitating, realizing who dwells within us, and pouring out of ourselves what he has given us.
Jesus said, go. He didn't say, wait for them to come in. Mm-hmm. Now, can they come in? Absolutely. But he said, go. Mm-hmm. Go. Go. Sometimes we get groups of people, and they get so full of all this stuff. When you pour out what God has poured in, God will pour in more. Mm-hmm. You know how we preach that message? Everybody's preaching about the water bottle, and we're like, hey, the water bottle's full, and if it was half empty, then there's room for God to fill. All right, if it's all the way empty, there's more room for him to fill. But if you're already full yourself, there's not much God can do with that. Well, you can get that way in the spirit too. God's downloading all these things into you, showing you all these things. You got to get it out. All right, and it's not just getting it out on other Christians. Yes, we need to disciple other Christians. Yes, we need that, but the world needs to hear this message. All right, so we just go. Oh, I was talking about Jeff and him. What they said when it was all over, and these two young ladies, it amazes me every time I remember what I was talking about, because you don't know. I was so burnt out when I got saved, I couldn't remember anything. And
I just don't know what my excuse is.
Jeff and them looked at me, and they go, wow. I mean, that was just, it was like something unusual.
Mm-hmm.
And this guy teaches me the gospel. I love him. He still knows way more than me. You and Karen know way more than me. I just know that I know him. I love him. And I looked at him and I said, this is not an unusual thing. A matter of fact, if we wouldn't have won our waitresses to Jesus, or at least got to pray for them or see them get healed in here, I would have felt like I was doing something. I'd have felt like I was outside the will of God. I'd have felt like that this was not normal. I said, it's normal for me to see people saved. It's normal for me to see people healed. It's normal for me to see people delivered. It should be normal for us to see the Bible at work in our life. And if we're not seeing the Bible at work in our life, then we ought to be like, hey, Lord, what's going on here?
Mm-hmm. And I think that, you know, again, that's gonna look different coming out of me.
Mm-hmm.
It is.
Yeah.
I'm probably not going to walk in a restaurant and say, hey, y'all, stop that clanging. I'm getting ready to lead these people to the Lord. But the anointing was there for you
right.
in that, and that's great. But here's what I am going to do. I'm going to walk in that restaurant, and before I ever got there inwardly,
mm-hmm.
I was like, Lord, is there anything you want to do here today? Is there somebody I'm going to speak to today? And my attention is so heightened about what he might want to do or say.
Right.
In this room. And it happens many, many times. Sometimes, it's the word of knowledge.
Right.
I just brought, we were talking about this before you got here. And I didn't just bring you, oh, here, the Bible says, no,
the
I carried to you the rhema.
Mm-hmm.
That God said something that you needed to know
exactly.
for what you're going through. Mm-hmm. I had no idea that you needed to know that. If I just went on my idea, I'd just bring you the written word.
Mm-hmm.
But the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit were operating. And I, because I was at attention, desiring to be used that way, it was easy for the Lord to move me in it. Mm. And so
I love that. And I like what Brother Whitney said about all the things that God's been pouring into us, mm-hmm. he wants to come out.
That's right.
So most likely, now there could be some similar things that he's speaking to us for a purpose, but most likely he's kind of showing us different things. Like he's pouring some different things into different parts of the gospel, different messages into each one of us. And it's our responsibility to let whatever that is come out. So like for Brother Whitney, it was that it's that gospel, mm-hmm. like that gospel message. And it should be for all of us, but it might be, like Miss Jeannie was saying, a word of knowledge, a rhema word mm-hmm. that somebody specifically needed to hear, which kind of was similar to when he was asking specifically, saying, let the words that I speak be exactly what someone needs to hear.
That's
like
right.
The thing about the prayer, like, mm-hmm. have you been talking to God? That clicked in that girl's mind. Oh, I have been talking mm-hmm. to God.
Right.
You know,
right.
So that's the beauty of it is, God's gonna, he's put specific people in all of our paths to be able to.
And you know, the thing is, it's like what Jeannie was saying, it's not gonna look the same on me as it does on anybody else because I'm me. But God's gonna use me in the way that is best for whatever.
For his kingdom.
Because, but it will always have the same purpose. It will
people
always be it will
growing in
that's
the grace
exactly
and knowledge. Yeah,
it'll
absolutely.
Always have that same place, that same intent. And but you know, you were talking about God pouring into Jeannie something and you into something, Whitney something, me something, and it's all a little bit different, but I think if you look at it, you'll find that they all connect. Mm-hmm. But see, that's God.
He's the same, you know, yesterday, today, and forever.
I can't do it like he does. Mm-hmm. I can't be Whitney.
Mm-hmm. But you can be like Jesus.
But I need a Whitney in my mm-hmm. life. I need that.
Yeah.
And that's the thing. We're all connected. And what God pours into him, I need.
Mm-hmm.
And what God pours into me, he needs in the same all the way around the table. I mean, that's God's way. That's what he does.
You remember Mythbusters?
Yeah.
I'm going to bust a myth. All right.
I'm not surprised.
Everybody labels me as this guy that just talked to anybody. I don't really even mm-hmm. like to talk to people.
Right. Yeah. You are that guy.
I am the. I'd just be just as happy, which I never do this anymore, sitting on a creek bank fishing all day. I'd be just as happy finding something that's, you know, not ungodly, but something that's watchable, and just sit down and binge 12 hours of TV and just do nothing, just sit there mindlessly and be like,
really?
And relax, you know?
You want to be there.
I'm telling you.
I mean,
my,
in your soul.
My soul wants to retreat and doesn't want to be in a spotlight or in front of, I just want to chill, mm. all right? But this old saying of, you know, I'm just German and German people get mad. I'm just this or I'm just that or that's just the way I am. Those are all soulish remarks.
Right.
All right. And Jesus came to not only save your spirit, but to save your soul. So any time you say that's just the way it is or that's just the way I am or that's just this. Okay, well, Jesus is wanting you to be like him. Jesus, not to be like Whitney, not to be like Jeannie, not to be like Karen. So when we stereotype people, well, this guy does this, and this lady does this. And I know we're all a body fitting together. We all have different gifts and different talents, but we are all able at any given
Absolutely.
Moment to let Jesus
Absolutely.
Be Jesus in us. Whether it's a word of prophecy, whether it's a word of knowledge, mm-hmm. whether it's a word of wisdom, whether it's a prayer of salvation, whether it's a prayer
That's
of
right.
healing, whether it's boldness. Now, here's the thing I don't get. Most people, when they get filled with the Holy Ghost, they are so excited that they get to pray in tongues now. They're like, wow, man, I'm praying. I remember when I read tongues in the Bible. I'm like, wow, if I could only pray in tongues, I will have arrived. I'm a super Christian. All right, if I just pray, I'm talking about somebody that never heard of tongues, and I get saved, and I'm reading the Bible. I'm like, tongues? What in the world is this, man? It's talking an unknown tongue, that's just crazy. And if I thought if I could pray in tongues, I've arrived, man. I mean, what else do I need? I can talk to God all the time. All right? And we get so hung up on tongues, and we get so hung up on prophecy. But if you really study the Bible, where people got filled with the Holy Ghost,
it was boldness.
Uh-huh.
We were talking.
It was boldness.
We were talking before you got here. It's kind of the same thing. Uh-huh. And we were, you know, how we override our soul, we override our emotions, even though they're there. Today I'm not in a great mood. Okay, whatever. But I override that, and I stir up who I am in Him, and I do it by speaking. I do it by, it comes out this gate right here, and next thing you know, you're back right here, fully alive in Him, even though your emotions were trying to take you somewhere else. And we've learned to, or that's the beauty of being. You can't override the emotional state that you find yourself in today. Your spirit man can rise up in the midst of that if you'll just begin to let it out. Begin. That's part of that pouring right there. And, you know, maybe you don't have nothing to pour. So you need to go, you know, you need to go back to the Word of God, go back to the place, the presence with Him. Come aside, spend some time with the Lord, and let that bottle fill up again. Amen.
But you do have something to pour. You have that light.
Mm-hmm.
So that's right. So I'm talking about just concealed carry. All right? I may have told this many years ago when I used to be on the radio, but I've been to Africa. I've seen groups of people, Muslims, bow down and get saved. I've seen blind people see, crippled people walk. The Lord has blessed me to see some just supernatural things to where I just shake. When I think about it, I still shake my head. Like, and the enemy will try to tell you it wasn't really real. You know, you went away and that just wasn't really real. It was just emotional things. But the greatest time I've ever, me personally, that the Lord has ever used me, when I just went through a divorce, I just went back to smoking cigarettes. There was several, my heart was just, I was so mad at God. I mean, I done shook my fist at God, done told God off. I was just in the worst condition since I've been saved. And I was at a youth camp. And you all know me, I always sit in the front, and I'm a guy dancing around, I'm a guy ready to pray for everybody, I'm just, and I'm sitting in the very back, and I'm just sitting there, and I'm just watching things go on, and in my mind, I have determined that, you know, I can't walk away from God. I've tasted, I've seen that He's good, but you've really let me down, and I'll just be the churchgoer. I'll just sit here and, you know, put the money in the plate, listen to the preacher, give him an amen, and then live life best I can, and sound familiar, all right?
Yeah,
and then come back and go to church. And I was just sitting there, and this guy walks up to me, a friend of mine named Danny Heron. He was at the Brownsville Revival for that going on down there. He walks up to me, and he just grabbed me by my hand, yanks me out of that back row of that youth camp, and says, "There's fire in you, and it needs to come out." No, he said, "What are you doing?" I said, "Danny, leave me alone, man. I'm just gonna sit here, be the Christian that just shows up, pays his tithes. But my heart's not right." He goes, grabbed my arm, yanked me up, said, "There's fire in you, and it needs to come out," and shoved me toward the front of that building, toward the front of that altar. And there was like, I'd say there's about 40 rows of pews. That's a big youth camp, and there's like 300 kids up there in the front, just worshiping Jesus. So I'm walking down through there, and the whole time I'm walking, I'm going, "I don't want to do this, Lord. Lord, you've really let me down." Just telling the Lord all these problems that He has because He's not done what I wanted Him to do. That's right, it. Okay, right. We get there. And when I crossed that last row of pews, now, granted, you're talking about a guy that was, my heart wasn't right. I was sneaking around smoking cigarettes. Nobody knew, but I was doing it. And I was going through a divorce, and I knew that if I got divorced, this ministry that I was in, that ministry there, I'm not going to name it, was going to kick me out because they don't believe in divorce. I knew all this was happening. And when I crossed that last row of pews, I started praying in tongues. I hadn't prayed in tongues for probably a year. And every kid that I laid my hands on, I had a prophetic word. Or they, and I'm not a guy that pushes somebody down. I get on friends of mine when I see them fall down, and I go, man, what you fall down for? Was that the Lord, or did you just fall down? Well, he pushed me. I said, push him back. Well, you can't do that to the preacher. I said, I do. Somebody comes up to me and puts their hand on me and starts to push my head backwards, I push my head forward. All right? But I have had God just slay me out in the spirit. So I just started praying for all these kids. I'm tell you what, it sounded like a machine gun of tongues coming out of my mouth, prophecy coming out, kids getting slain, the Holy Ghost. Kids still come up to me today remembering, well, when I see them, I don't see them that much. They still remember that. I still remember that. So in my mind, that's probably the greatest God's ever used me, because I wasn't willing to be used. You say, well, you was willing. You got up. Absolutely. So what I'm trying to tell you, if you're out there, you're listening to all of us, and you're thinking, well, I'm not like Whitney, or I'm not like this or that. If you'll just take a step.
Yeah.
In the beginning, we talked about a one-step program, right? I'm not against 12-step programs, but I'm more into the one step. If you'll just take a step wherever you're at, when you step up to that cash register, I'm going to step up here and I'm going to be used by God. All right? When you step up to your table this week and you sit down for your family, I'm going to step up here, take a seat, and I'm going to be used by God. If you'll have a mindset of I'm going to be used by God, God use me. I don't care what mental state I'm in. I want you to use me. God is able. Because yep. God's looking for a warm body, Jeannie. He's right. Not looking for a super Christian that prays in tongues six hours a day. He's looking right. for a warm body.
You remember, you always remind me of this. Brother Ron always said, you'll know as you go.
That's it.
Just go. Abraham. Just go. He said to me the same thing when I was going to the nursing home over there. I was like, you know, I don't know what to give these people. I mean, these people are in a bad way, right? And he said, just go in my name.
As you go,
he never
you will
did,
know.
And I never liked what to do or what to say.
You know, it reminds me of Moses, that scripture where, you know, he was out there and he saw something, and he told whoever he was with, he said, you go on, do this. And Moses said, I'm going to turn aside to see. And, you know, I think that's what a lot of this is. You know, we're talking about how we operate from our soul. But now that we are new creatures in Christ, the spirit inside of you has come alive.
Amen.
And now your spirit that is alive in Christ, now your feelings, your emotions, your want tos, your all of those things, your resistance, now they answer to that.
Amen.
They don't answer to
well,
for
them.
That's
my perfect world.
That's right.
That's my perfect
that's
world.
That's right. And it is the place that we are pursuing because we know
Amen.
About it. But, you know, it's that place of wherever you are, whatever you're thinking, whether you think you can, you can't, you should, you shouldn't, whatever, Paul, turn aside to see what God would have for you. Turn aside to see what God has to say. Turn aside. Put yourself in that position. Lord, just use me today.
Amen.
Find your position in Him where you make yourself a willing vessel to be used to pour forth light.
Right.
And pour forth those things that He has put inside of you.
I'm just trying to break the mold today and every day that this isn't for everyone. It is for everyone. The Bible says, do the work of the evangelist. It's the only one that it says for everyone to do.
It is for everyone.
That's right.
And what does that look like? Yeah, whatever God wants it to look like in your life. But we got to get out of these mindsets mm-hmm. to where we think, I'm not like them, or I'm not like this guy. Even the guys that mentor me all my life, I try to encourage them. Hey, you know, be a witness. Be a witness.
I don't think it's so much that I'm not like you in a place of being an evangelist. I'm just not going to do it probably the same way you do.
Amen.
But I do think that everybody is called to that. Everybody is called to the ministry of reconciliation. Everybody is called to those kind of things, and you can't neglect it. You can't. Mm-hmm. You've got to be on mark. You've got to be in that place. But
Brother Greg, he said earlier, I feel like some are called to minister to the lost, some are called to minister to the saved, all for the glory of God. I think what he means is, like, some are gifted, like, specifically gifted, like, the people he was talking about that were saved, but they needed that discipleship, and they needed mm-hmm. to hear the truth of, like, you have to get yourself right. It's not enough to just be saved and then go do whatever you want. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And then there's some that just... they share their testimony. They just witness to the lost. But I think that I understand what you're saying, Greg. Like, I don't think he would say that he doesn't think that, like, we're not supposed to share our testimony with the lost and see the lost saved. But I do agree that some have that anointing for discipleship. Some have anointing for evangelists. But I love our conversation because we are all called.
Any of those lines can be crossed, too.
That's right.
You know, I'm constantly pouring into people, teaching the Word of God most of the time to people that are saved. But I know that's not a line drawn. I move on the waitress at the restaurant as well.
That's right.
But most people look at it as it's not about guilt and shame. It's not about I feel guilty because I don't. It's not about making an excuse to this. It's about yielding to God.
That's right.
It's about saying, Lord, what do you want me to do?
I don't
want to be like Jeannie. If you're out there today, this is what I want to leave with you, because he said we got 2 minutes. God doesn't want you to be like Jeannie. God doesn't want you to be like Whitney. God doesn't want you to be like... He wants you to be like you.
That's right.
He created you for purpose, for destiny. He has the same anointing that raised Christ from the dead lives in you. He gave you the ability to be the witness when you need to be the witness, to keep your mouth shut when you need to keep your mouth shut, to heal when you need to see healing, to prophesy. He gave you the anointing. The key is yielding to God and allowing Him to use you wherever you go. In every situation,
Amen.
His will, not your will, be done.
Amen.
Romans 12:1-2. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercy of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God in your life.
Amen.
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 Mic drop. Thank you so much. Any departing words for the audience, Brother Whitney, or anyone else?
Your spirit was transformed. Right? It was filled with an incorruptible seed. It cannot be corrupted. It's filled with the Holy Ghost. You're saying, well, you're getting into Calvinism. I'm not the Calvinist. Everybody knows me. But your soul realm is being transformed daily. It's being renewed daily. And the only thing that's going to renew it is the Word of God.
The Word of God.
Getting it in you.
Amen.
You can be a radical, born-again guy, seeing people healed, saved, delivered, filled with the Holy Ghost all over the planet, and still be ungodly in your soul.
So Amen. Pour out your light.
Until then, don't forget to raise your hallelujah.
Back tomorrow, 7 a.m. Central Time.